Alrighty, so we're going to get started. Thank you everyone for tuning in to another Money Matters Monday. I know this one is super late between tax season and other things the business has been doing, have been busy, but we're here now and we're going to get through it. So I know this PowerPoint says understanding credit reports and scores, but tonight we're really just going to focus on understanding credit reports. And then in July, I'll go through the other half in understanding credit scores because it's a lot of information in here. I know you see 36 slides, but I'm going to try not to bore you. I'm going to try my best. So oftentimes people confuse the words debt and credit because they're both connected to borrowing money, but debt is different from credit. So for tonight, please keep in mind that credit is the ability to borrow money. And debt results from using credit. And you can have credit without having debt. Keep those three things in mind. So for example, you may have a credit card in which you don't currently owe money because you paid the balance off and you haven't made new purchases on it. So when you use your credit and have loans to pay, your track record in making your payments becomes part of your credit history. And companies called credit reporting companies pull this history into credit reports. And a credit report is just a type of consumer report. It looks at some of your bill paying history, your public record information. It's a record of how often you have applied for new lines of credit. And your credit reports contain information about how you have used credit. For example, it's going to show how much credit you have, how much your available credit you are using, whether you have made your payments on time, and whether debt collectors have reported that they are attempting to collect debt that you owe. So some people will say credit reports and scores don't matter to them because they're never going to get a loan. But the information of your credit report is used in all sorts of ways. It's not just to get a loan. As you can see, you can get and keep a job. There are a lot of jobs that do soft credit checks. I'll break down the differences between types of credit checks later. But get and keep a job, like keep a security clearance for a job, including military positions, get an apartment, get insurance coverage, get lower deposits on utilities and better terms on cell phone purchase plans, even get a credit card. And then, of course, get a better credit score. Like everybody wants that 800 credit score. So if any of these things are important to you, improving your credit report can help you get them. Having a positive credit history and good credit scores can open doors for you. But not having positive credit history or good credit scores can create obstacles for you, and it can end up costing you more in terms of the price that you will pay for loans, credit cards, and just overall other services. That's why it's important for you to pay your bills on time and pay attention to what's in your credit report, because scores are calculated based on the information in the report. So, what exactly is in a credit report? I know there's a lot of discourse around this, but the credit report, it just collects information about consumers, and you are a consumer. So the reports are sold to businesses so they can make decisions about whether or not to lend to you. So the three top credit reporting companies are Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. There are others. They're smaller. They're not as large, but they do exist, and you have credit scores with them too. But typically when you are working, pulling your credit report, it's going to come from Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion, those three. So these companies have data on you, and your files at all three are going to be similar, but they may not be the same. And then sometimes information is provided to one, but not to the other two. And that's why when people, you may remember seeing commercials of like, oh, like someone may have two great credit scores at two of these credit reporting companies, but the other one is much lower because there's something being reported over there. That's the reason why. Like everything on your credit history is not going to get reported to the same bureaus. All right, so The credit report contains five basic sections. So at the top, we have your header and identifying information. This is just to make sure that you are you and someone and the information on the credit report matches to you, because you do not want someone else's information on your profile. So this includes like your date of birth, place of birth, social security, like just anything that can trace your identity back to you. It's not going to include the jobs you've held. It's not a credit report. It just contains your personal information, but it's not going to include your race or ethnicity either. Second section is your public record information. Now, this is where we get into some of the financial details. This is where you're going to see like your bankruptcies, your judgments, state and federal tax liens, your records of, it's not going to include like arrest records and conviction records, but your employment background screening agencies, they will include that type of stuff. But other public records that usually don't appear on credit reports is like your marriage records, adoptions, civil suits, and it's specifically civil suits that you did not have a judgment in. So I know a lot of people think, oh no, like that's going on my credit report. It's not. As long as there wasn't like a judgment in civil court, you're fine. It's not going on there. Next, we go into the collection agency account information. So this is going to show if you have any collection agencies coming after you, and if you did have collection agencies come after you, what was the status of those accounts? So sometimes they're going to say open, which means it has not been resolved. Sometimes they're going to say closed. It really just depends on what happened with that. Now, credit account information. So this section is just going to include all the accounts, all your trade lines that you have. You're going to see your student loans here. They're going to say, again, it's going to be either open accounts or closed accounts with all these creditors. But all of your accounts will not be listed, especially the older ones that you have closed or it's accounts that they really don't have good information on. So this is where we get into the inconsistencies across your credit profiles with those three top credit reporting companies. But it's so important to make sure that the accounts listed at one time belong to you or do belong to you. Next would be inquiries made on your account. So companies look at your credit report when you apply for credit, right? Or just in general, when they review your account, like maybe Discover wants to give you a credit line increase. So there are two types of inquiries. You have hard inquiries and soft inquiries. So hard inquiries result when you apply for credit and the lender actually reviews your credit report. So they're basically telling the credit bureau like, hey, I need a credit report. Send it to me. Of course, they're paying for this. And then because the credit reporting agency has to send it, they're like, okay, this is now an inquiry. The general rule of thumb is that you do not want more than two inquiries on your credit report, two hard inquiries, let me be specific, on your credit report in the 24-month period. So on the flip side, you have soft inquiries. And this is, you don't have to worry about soft inquiries. They're generally for marketing offers. So again, like when you're getting like those credit cards in the mail and stuff, they're running soft credit checks on you. And soft credit checks, you won't even notice them. Like, so you can go look at them and you'll see like, oh, there's like 100 of them. And you're like, why are they running all these soft credit checks? It's just for marketing or to see who you are, to send you something in the mail. Like a lot of employers, like future employers, will run a soft credit check to see like, okay, how is this candidate? You know, it's another way for them to weed out on who to hire. So another reason to have good credit. So how do companies use this information to make decisions? So businesses will use this information that how you have handled credit in the past is a good predictor of how you will handle it in the future, which is not true, because just because you struggled before doesn't mean you'll struggle again. And just because you never struggled means that you won't. Like anyone, like a two-income household can become a one-income household. Like just any of those likes. But if you have struggled with managing your credit in the past, especially the recent past, they believe you are likely to struggle again. And other people that make decisions about whether or not to do business with you, such as landlords, employers, insurance companies, utility companies, may see these struggles as an indication of how dependable you will be in the future. And that's whether you're a tenant, an employee, or a customer. So I want you to look over here to, I said the section may include, look at the second half of bullets. So it says items as of date, any amount currently owed, and whether you're current with late payments and the balance, whether if you had a past due and the number of payments that were 30, 60, 90 days late, whether the account was charged off, the date information was reported to the credit bureau. So as you can see, like they're keeping good tabs on what are you doing as a consumer. And on one hand, it's very discriminatory. Credit is very discriminatory because it doesn't take into account that, you know, like things happen to people and they're not caring about that. They're more so looking at, okay, how are you handling your debt now? And not factoring in that a lot of these credit places are very predatory and they're locking people into these high interest rates and minimal payments where they can't make it. And the only solution is like, well, we're just going to ding your credit so you can't go anywhere else to get this item. So it's kind of wrong in the long run. Okay, so let's talk about first positive information before I talk about negative information. So there is no limit for the length of time that positive information can stay on your credit report. If it's positive, keep it on there. Like, eventually, it's probably not going to help much, but it's better that it helps some rather than not at all. So, let's talk about negative information. So, negative information can be reported to those who request your credit report for only a specified period of time. So, negative information will typically stay on your credit report for usually 7 years for most items. But a bankruptcy can stay on your credit report for up to 10 years. That doesn't seem very fair, does it? So for civil suits and judgments, the information can be reported on your credit report for 7 years or until the statute of limitations has expired, whichever is longer. This statute of limitations depends on your state, but generally 7 is a good rule of thumb. So information can be kept in your file beyond these limits if you're applying for a credit of $150,000 or more, applying for life insurance with a face value of $150,000 or more, or applying for a job with an annual salary of $75,000 or more. So that goes back to that job, $75,000. That goes back to employers running soft credit checks to see how reliable you are. So, looking at an example credit report. So, each of the three nationwide credit reporting companies like Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, they have their own presentation format. And I'm going to show you an example document in just a minute. But it includes your name, current address, other information that can be used, like your social security number, and I'm just going to show it to you. All right, so this is what the document looks like. This is the first part of it. So you see the name, social security number, date of birth, telephone, address. Again, the address can be old. See, it does have employment date. On my credit report, it has my It has several old employer on it. It doesn't even have my new employer on it. And I'm not going to change it because this type of information does not affect your credit score. All right. So then we have the public records. pull it down. All right. So this section includes your financial nature, consumer bankruptcy judgment, states and federal tax liens. All right. So see, this is Big City, Wisconsin court docket. Look, it's a chapter. Look at the type. Chapter 7 bankruptcy. It was for an individual. Then we have another one. This is Big City Municipal Court Docket. This was a civil judgment, individual, the amount. So these two are showing up on the credit report. Next, we have collections down here at the bottom. It shows any accounts with a collection agency. So you see the original creditor was the ABC Megastore. It will have the original creditor, but there will usually be a section who shows who is the collection agency that is trying to collect from you. And later on in different talks, I will talk about how to deal with collection agencies. But again, this is just a high level overview to show you what is actually in a credit report, because some people have never looked at one. All right. So then you see the amount, $2,500, what day it was open. There's a balance of $1,000. And then, and you can even slide back up to here. Didn't see this there. It even lists the plaintiff and the plaintiff attorney. So now we go into the account information. So you can see Little Town Bank has a balance of $14,000 and it's 30 days past due for an auto loan, I'm assuming. Probably got it financed. And then it's, see the high balance, the amount that's past due, terms $395 a month for 48 months. You will not see that anymore. The last payment made was on, 7/5, but then 8/5, scheduled payment, past due. Okay, so there was a three. Okay, so the $395 is what was actually past due because it wasn't paid with the 8/5/13. So it's kind of wrong for them to report that to the to your credit agency. But they probably did try to call him a couple of times and no response. All right, then we have another one, Bank of Wisconsin. This is a credit card. You'll see it says revolving credit card, limit of $10,000. Balance $3,603. Pay status paid or paying as agreed. If it says paying as agreed, that's typically somebody who's called a credit card agency and asked for a hardship program. And hopefully, as long as you adhere to that agreement, you should be good to go. But sometimes there are credit agencies that are just very malicious. So whenever you do agree to something, get it in writing, because if they do go back on their word, you can turn around and sue them and you can get your debts paid off. So always get it in writing. But you see there was a high balance reported on 12/9. There's nothing past due 8/13/23. So this is just showing an open account. See how nothing's past due, has an okay rating, has paid the amounts each month. All right, so just to recap, most negative info stays on your report for 7 years, except for bankruptcy that can stay up to 10 years. And these are the components. And then these are the components of a credit report: your personal identification, collection agency account information, your public records, accounts and usage, companies that requested your credit report, and student loans. This is where a lot of people mess up with student loans, because defaulted student loans can stay on your credit report indefinitely. Like, there's no promise that they come off. And then having student loans can sometimes prevent you from getting a house, especially if they're defaulted. Like, a bank is not going to want to give you a loan. So now we go to the inquiry section. And again, there are two different inquiries. We have hard and soft. Soft, they don't matter. Hard, you want no more than two in a 24-month period. All right, so you can see here at the auto loan store was requested on 6/20/13, one from the superstore, and see it actually says promotional inquiries. They receive your name, address, and other limited information about you so they can make a firm offer of credit or insurance. They did not receive your full credit report. These are not displayed to others, and they do not affect your credit score. That is the key. Oh, and then this one down here, Dress for Frances, Fashion House, Easy Loan Store, and these are account review inquiries. These companies received information from your consumer report for the purpose of an account review of business transactions. So these are your hard inquiries. They are not displayed to others and they do not affect your credit score. Okay, so these are not the hard inquiries. It's probably on the next page. Okay. Okay, there was one more slide that had hard inquiries on it, but we get the gist. All right, so we're going to go through the general terms, so because this can get very confusing. So starting at the top, payment status. That's just the history of the account, including on-time payments, as well as delinquencies and other negative items. Delinquent just means that it has not been paid on time and it's late. And they're expressed typically in 30, 60, 90, or 120 days or more delinquent. Default means that the consumer is not meeting the requirements agreed to when he, she, they took out the loan. An account has been delinquent late for several 30 days. Billing cycles is generally considered to be in default. So when you hear people be like, oh, they defaulted on their student loans, that's what it means. So, a charge-off is when a business decides an account is uncollectible, but the consumer is still responsible for the debt, and the collections will likely continue on this debt. And a debt is considered charged off when it is so delinquent that the lender can no longer consider it as something that it is likely to be able to collect. So, this doesn't mean that the debt itself is erased. The consumer still legally owes the debt and it can be collected. In many cases, the right to collect the debt is taken over by a collection agency. And then the collection agency comes after you. And typically, it's in that 7-year period timeline when a collection agency is like, they're not going to let that 7 years run out. You're going to get a letter in the mail that, hey, we're suing you for your debt. You're not paying your debt. And that's why it's important to be proactive when you get a first letter from the collection agency, because they're going to lure you into a false sense of security of like, oh, I don't have to pay it. No, you still legally owe the debt. And that's why I tell people when they're like, oh, I just need stuff deleted off my credit report. I'm like, regardless if it's deleted off your credit report, they can still come after you because you legally still owe that debt. All right, next, close date. This one is very basic. The date an account is closed. It can be closed by the business or the consumer. If there's still a balance when the account is closed, the consumer is still responsible for paying this. So something can be closed if, let's say, you like a credit card and it's like they're going to close off your account and they're going to come after you to pay whatever was owed when you close the account. It just depends on whatever the credit line was, whatever the trade line was. So Chapter 7, bankruptcy. In Chapter 7, the consumer's assets are used to pay off creditors. So any eligible debt not paid through the assets are discharged. And this will be in the public record section of the credit report. Bankruptcy is also public record. So anyone can go look at bankruptcy records because it's illegal. It's public and it's legal information. And anyone can see that you filed bankruptcy. Also, you cannot discharge student loans or child support through bankruptcy. This is more for like credit cards, home, you know, like you have a loan on your home, like you have cars, like those types of debts. It's not going to discharge your student loans, and it's not going to discharge your child support or other or IRS debts. That too. Those three things. So now Chapter 13, bankruptcy. So if Chapter 7 is where it's discharged, Chapter 13 is where you enter into a payment plan. Also, word of advice, when it comes to bankruptcy, you can't just file for bankruptcy. You have to ask to file bankruptcy. That's why you have to get a lawyer and go to court. Anyway, a legal process is when the consumer enters into a payment plan to pay off the creditors using their future income. And the payment plan is arranged by the courts. They'll give you options. Like, there's not going to be like, okay, you're ordered to pay $500 a month. Like, no, it's not going to be like that. There are going to be several options of like where they take the money and then you're left with what's left out of your paycheck. So once the payment plan is complete, remaining eligible debts are discharged, and this will be in the public record section of the credit report. And remember that bankruptcy is also public records, which means anybody can have access to it. All right, so let's talk about disputing errors on the credit report. This is why it's important to review your credit report. If you're like me, I hate the PDF version of credit reports because they look like this. They're just a bunch of numbers, a bunch of data. That's why I prefer looking on apps like the Experian app, because number one, it's much more organized and it's colorful. And if I see something wrong, I can click it and I can hit the dispute button right there. But for the people who are more pen and paper, this is for you. So first of all, you're going to have to explain what you think is wrong and why. If let's just say like someone fraudulently used your information and got someone else to sign your name on a loan, like, yes, you need to dispute that. Or like, you can't just dispute it because you don't want to pay it. Like, that's not a good reason. Now, you can just send them a letter and say, I need you to verify that the debt is me. That's the first step in anything when you're going to dispute. You're going to say, I need confirmation that this is my debt, actually. And they have to respond to you within 30 days. And I will go over this in another video because I'm actually over than what I wanted to talk this evening, but we're almost done with credit reports. So if you submit your dispute writing rather than online, never send original documents, only send copies, because you may need those original documents for court. So that is all I'm going to do for tonight. That's all about credit reports. Again, next month, I'm going to talk about credit scores. This is where it gets more exciting about scores. Like, the actual report itself, it's just very boring. But I want you to download the Experian app for sure. It's free. Don't pay for anything. Just download that onto your phone.